Thank you, ladies. Well, our speaker this evening is really needs no introduction, but I do ask that you give him your kind and your prayerful attention as our brother Don brings us the word of the Lord this evening.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, ladies, for the beautiful song. Your voices touch our hearts. I hope the sentiment of the song touches our hearts as well. This evening, I would like to bring to you a reading from the words of Jesus Christ as he made his appearance here in America shortly after his crucifixion and resurrection, found in 3 Nephi, 3 Nephi chapter 11. We find here Jesus is teaching the people the words of Malachi. He told them that the Father wanted them to have the words of the prophet Malachi. And they didn't have them because they had left Jerusalem before Malachi acted in his ministry and received this message, a vitally important message. I'm glad those words are here because there are people, you know, that maintain that some of those words of Malachi that should be applying to our lives, well, really, they're in the Old Testament and they don't apply to today. So I'm glad that Jesus brought them to their attention, and he said at the close of his discussion of Malachi that they were for future generations. They are for us today. We're going to read in chapter 11 a reading of these words, beginning with verse 19. It's found on page 669. We're going to read through verse 30. It's a long reading. Hang in there. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And now it came to pass that when Jesus had told these things, he expounded them unto the multitude, and he did expound all things unto them, both great and small. And he saith, these scriptures which ye had not with you, the Father commanded that I should give unto you, for it was wisdom in him that they should be given unto future generations. And he did expound all things, even from the beginning until the time that he should come in his glory. That's quite a reading. That contains a lot of history and of lot that will come to pass in our lives and in the future. And I think it's worthy of examining in greater detail. And so I would like to begin again with verse 19. And I would like to examine these words of Christ and how they apply to us. And I would like to have some participation. Yeah, from you folks. And I want you to remember, you know, there's no sense of you participating and talking to a deaf man unless you speak loudly enough that he can hear you. And I think if you speak loudly enough that I can hear you, anybody in here can hear you as well. Verse 19. Then they that feared the Lord. I'd like to just pause right there. An important expression. It's exclusive. It's talking only about one group of people, not mankind. They that feared the Lord. And you know, that's a word there. There's a word in there that Malachi used that the Lord impressed upon his mind that is sometimes confusing. Feared the Lord. Important. Solomon expounded upon that expression. And our brother Gordon has expounded every Sunday about the same expression. And I'm going to do it once again. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is it, in a nutshell. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God. We need to know what that is really meaning for us to be able to do it and comply and be among these people that Jesus is referring to. So you have to consider that ancient Hebraic word that Malachi was given and wrote, and Jesus repeated here. Fear God. What does it mean? That word has a definite significance for our lives. It means three things. It means to give reverence, honor, and respect. Give reverence, honor, and respect. And I don't know if you even know, let alone what reverence is, what respect is. We believe we do, you know. We have respect for the flag of America. Do we not? When you're at camp, you been to camp? Youth camp? No. Katie, when you're at camp, every morning we begin with a ceremony of raising the flag. Do we not? Now, Gordon did that when he was in the military service, and Jim did that in the military service, and I did, and a lot of people did. When you're in the military service, and the flag is raised on the deck or on the parade grounds, what does the military man do to show respect for that flag, Gordon? He stands at attention and salutes, gives honor, respect, a sign of respect to something bigger than that person himself. Well, we don't salute, do we? What do we do when they raise the flag, Katie? We do what? We put our right hand over our heart, a sign of respect and love and honor. And what else do we do? Where do we put our eyes? Yes, on the flag as it's going up that post. Are we whispering and talking and nudging our friend and our neighbor? No, Katie. Hey, I've been to camp. Some of us do not. Some of us show respect to the flag. And others, it's just another thing. Now, we show respect for the flag here in our services sometimes. Most importantly, in song services, people call for the Star-Spangled Banner. And we stand, like Katie said, And we put our hands over our heart. And we put our eyes on the flag as we sing. Do we? Well, some of us do. Some of us don't. But it's, you know, this nation is in a precarious situation right now. It's time we learn and be united as a people, showing respect to the government, to the flag, to all that that stands for. That's, the flag stands for more than you know, just an ornament in the church building or on the school grounds. It stands for something vitally important, bigger than us. And so we show respect to it. We're told all the time that we ought to show respect to the law. Respect for the law. How do we do that, Zach? How do we show respect for the laws of America, the laws of Phoenix, the laws of Arizona? Pardon? How do we show respect for them? How would you say we show respect for them, Trish?
By obeying
them. That's why when we get on 101, we never drive more than 65 miles an hour. Well, I got you, didn't I? You know, this says, be obedient. Solomon said, be obedient to his commandments. And one of his commandments was that his people will respect the laws of the land. That's tough. And we don't do it. And it's time we did. If we want to be among those who feared the Lord, the ones that Jesus talked about, it's important that we do it. Okay, we know what respect is. Oh, we come Wednesday night and Sunday morning, Sunday evening, into the house of God. The house of the Lord. This isn't my house and it's not yours. No, a bunch of you in here got together and we built it with our hands, but it's not our house. It's the house of God. Should we be showing respect to the house of God, the abode of God? You know, we believe that God is omnipotent. He has all power. He's omnipresent. He's present. He is present. This is the abode of God. And when we come in those doors, we need to find ways to show respect. How do we do that? By stuffing our garbage and Kleenex down under the seat cushions? No, I think not. That's not the way to do it. By keeping it as clean as possible? By being reverent when we come in? That's how we do it. You know, I'm really trusting. You don't ever come here Sunday morning, Sunday evening to hear Don or Jay or Ken. I'm trusting you come here to have an appointment with God Almighty, to have a meeting in the presence of Jesus Christ. If we come with that in mind, then we come expecting Him to be here, and we should act as if He were. Respect. Honor, we know. How to give honor to something. It's to give esteem to it. It's to show respect and esteem and love for something. If we give honor to a statesman that is famous and served the country or served our state for generations, we're quiet in his presence. We listen to his words. We give attention to him. We give honor to, if we give honor to God Almighty, we worship Him. We worship Him. We praise His name. We fall on our knees before Him. And then the last expression there, a part of fearing God, was reverence. That's a word we use all the time, you know. It also has three significations. Reverence considers this. It's to have deep regard of respect and love and awe. Those who fear God will have respect for Him. They will have love for Him, and they will think about Him with awe. A-W-E, a strange little word that we very seldom use. But it's important that we understand its significance. Love, you know, Jesus Christ gave us the definition, didn't He? He told us how we know we love the Lord. What did He say in John chapter 14? He said, if those who keep My commandments are those who love Me. And that's why Solomon said, you know, to fear God and keep His commandments. They go hand in hand. We do not fear God if we don't keep His commandments. We do not love Jesus Christ if we don't obey His commandments. So it's vitally important that we know what they are and that we endeavor to obey them. Let's think about awe. The psalmist David wrote, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Let's just take a few examples to see what we're talking about here. St. Luke chapter 2. Oh, chapter 2 of St. Luke. You already know what this story is about. Verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. They fell on their knees before Him." They didn't utter a word. What is this? When Jesus made His appearance here in America, coming down from the heavens like this angel appeared to the shepherds, there was a great number, 2,500 people gathered together in a big plaza. And they saw this being descending from heaven. And He grew closer and closer and closer. And He was bathed in light. And He came and He stood before them. And they fell on their knees before Him. Awe. Amazed at the power and the glory. One more example. In Acts chapter 3. Let's start with verse 2. "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement, awe at what had happened to this man they knew well." Tell me, do we really need to see a crippled man raised up to be in awe of the wonder and the power of God? Or is that always present in our minds, when we take time to sit down and quietly reflect, are we not always filled with wonder, with amazement, with awe at His power, at His glory, at His love for us, at His blessings poured out into the lives of His people? These are the people that Jesus was talking about. People that feared God, respected Him, honored Him with love and respect, with wonder and amazement and awe. Those are the people that Jesus is talking about. Let's go on. Then they that feared the Lord, I'm hoping I'm talking to them, spake often one to another. They spake often one to another. What? Now that doesn't just mean, you know, like we get together on Sunday afternoon and we're visiting there in the dining room, or we get together in the evening and we're all visiting and talking with them. They spake together. I think that refers to what Moroni was talking about. That the saints who were baptized in the church met together oft and spoke to one another about the welfare of their souls. That's what it's talking about. Jesus is talking about those people who fear God. They meet together, and many times, not only in the chapel, when they're together, they talk to one another about the well-being of their souls, about things of spiritual import. Not just the addition I'm making on my house, not just the car that I'm repairing, not just the sickness that I'm recovering from, but we talk about things of import. Spiritual import to our lives. They spoke often to one another. And the Lord hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and had thought upon His name. So when we gather together here, and you feel that urge to stand to your feet and bear a testimony about the wonder and the marvel of God's blessings in your life, about a renewal that took place by the Spirit, or a healing, or a blessing, a direction, a guidance, some way the Lord touched your life. It isn't just we people assembled that are listening. The Lord is listening. He's hearkening to your words. Does He hearken to the words of each one of you? Has He had opportunity to hearken to your words of testimony, of praise, of spiritual blessing? These are the people that He's talking about. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He's watching. He's looking. He's listening to us. Peter said, was inspired to write, also an Old Testament writer, and I don't remember who it was, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayers." Not only their prayers, but to their testimony as well. And it is for them that this book of remembrance is written. Your name is written in that book. I was down in Yobain one time, and old Placido and I went into Merida, and I said, "Just a little bit, I'm going to check my email." So he sat down over there while I checked my email. When I got all through, he said, "Well, did you get a letter from your wife?" "No, I didn't get one today." A couple of days later, we were back in Merida. I'm going to check my email. So I went in there, and later when he saw me, he said, "Well, did you get a letter from your wife?" No, I didn't get one. Oh, she's written you in the book of forgotten. No, we want to be in that book of remembrance that's written by the hand of the Lord, and your name should be written there. And then in verse 20, he's speaking about these people. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. The Lord revealed through Moses to his people, clear back as they were wandering through the wilderness, he said, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me of all the peoples of the world. That's what Jesus is saying here in New Testament times to the believers that meet together and speak to one another often about the well-being of their souls. Speak to one another about the marvelous blessings that come into our lives that others might hear and know and be touched and inspired and realize that sometimes the problems that they think they're the only one in the world that's facing, no other people have faced that problem, and God has helped them and blessed and strengthened them. And our names will be written in that book. And one day, we will be regarded as a beautiful, special treasure to the Lord. Above all the peoples of the earth, a treasure, special, valuable. Verse 21, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Brothers and sisters, we right now need to be able to differentiate between the righteous and the wicked. Between that which is pleasing to the eyes of God and that which is unpleasing. We need to be able to recognize it. Brother Ken was speaking about that this morning. In extreme measures, we need to recognize it even in smaller areas of concern. I was reading a novel about Lydia, the seller of purple. And in the novel, she was, of course, she was a Greek, a resident of Thyatira in what is now Turkey, Asia Minor. In that city, there were many Jewish people. And she was a typical Greek, worshiping the gods of the Greeks and the heroes of their mythology, going to the temples, taking part in the activities. But all around her were these Jewish people. Different kind of people. And she began to try to understand them. How are they different? How is their religion and their thought so different from that of the Greeks? And the writer wrote these words. She observed that the Jews understood their history less as a series of tales about the deeds of heroes and kings, like the Greeks did, than as a tally of the ways they pleased or displeased their Lord. Oh, that should be our goal as well. That should be our understanding of our own personal history, how we please or displease the Lord, and recognizing areas in our life where we displease Him, doing something about it, calling upon Him for the strength that He's able to give us that we can change and overcome and do those things that are pleasing to Him at all times. So, you know, I say we need to be able to distinguish between lives that are worldly, displeasing to the Lord, and lives that are pleasing. And I know we can do that. I know that in here there are people that would not think of living in fornication, would not think of using some of the terrible language that is so common out there in our society today. But you know, there is, the Lord told us, not only, you know, you don't do these things, you don't have any joy in them as well. And yet a lot of times, you know, we might find ourselves paying our money, giving our time to watch and enjoy people that are doing these things that we wouldn't think of doing. They're on the television every day. They're in the movies, almost every one we go see. They're in the books that we read, unless we're very careful. And the Lord said, don't, not only you don't participate in these things, you don't even take joy in them. You separate yourself from them. That's what the Lord is saying here. I believe, you know, that we need to be able to distinguish between righteous living and unrighteous, between that which is pleasing and that which is displeasing to the Lord. And that which is displeasing to Him. You know, we need to have a clear, we need to have a vivid understanding of the destiny, the final end of those that please and those that displease the Lord. King Benjamin talked about it. I'd like to turn to Mosiah chapter 1, I think. Yes, on page 215, King Benjamin is speaking to his people, and he's not excluding any of them. So, Don, listen. Mark, Meredith, oh, ye old men and women, and listen carefully. Zach, and also ye young men, and you little children, which can understand my words, for I have spoken plain unto you, that you might understand. I pray that you should be awake, that ye should awake to a remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression. And moreover, I would desire that you could consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received unto heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. We need to consider that. The daily choices that we make, the daily activities that we pursue, will take us to one destiny or the other. How important it is. And the Lord is reminding people of that here as He's speaking these words of Malachi. Verse 22. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Who shall be burned up? All the proud. I've got to learn to limit, extinguish elements of pride that enter in to my thinking, my life, and all that do wickedly. I've got to learn to change every behavior, action, Ken said this morning, every word, every thought that is displeasing to the Lord. I'd like to expand on this a little bit. I'd like to go back to 1 Nephi, chapter 7, about these that will be burned up, relating more perhaps to our day. This is a prophecy. On page 74, I'd like to begin reading with verse 26. And the blood of that great and abominable church, which is the whore of all the earth, shall turn upon their own heads. For they shall war among themselves, and the sword of their own hand shall fall upon their own heads. And they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another. And they shall fall into the pit which they dig to ensnare the people of the Lord. Oh, you know, I have seen that carried out. Of course, I've got an addiction ever since I was a school teacher. I felt like, you know, I need to read the newspaper every morning, and I do it still. And I don't have to worry about going to school and being quizzed by the kids. But all the times I have seen prophecy fulfilled in the news that's going on, I remember well when Israel was first established once again. What was those words there? This word of prophecy, and every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel. Israel was just being established, and all of the Muslim nations that surrounded her declared in a united way, we're going to gather our armies and we're going to drive Israel into the sea. The Mediterranean Sea will be red with their blood. And before they could even put an exclamation point on it, Iraq and Iran declared war upon one another and killed 8 million of each other. 8 million people. Exactly what this prophesies. I well remember reading about the words about a guy who spent his life and earned a good livelihood digging up old manuscripts for people, most especially for his Mormon fellow worshipers, about the early church and Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon and all that sort of thing. Oh, they'd come to him and they'd say, you know, I've heard there was such and such a paper that was written. I sure would like to see that, you know. And he'd find ways, he'd go everywhere and he'd dig them up. Well, one day I was sitting in my home over there and it was Saturday. And that was back in the days when the Saturday newspaper had a religious section. Well, that would be sacrilegious today, so they don't do it. But back in that day, they had a religious section. And there, you know, I always look forward to reading that. I opened that to that section B or C, the religious section. Wham! Right there on the front cover of it was a big picture of a hole in the ground and some plates down there and a white salamander on top of it, which is a symbol of witchcraft. And a letter that this guy, this researcher that earned millions of dollars selling these ancient manuscripts, he had found an old letter written by Joseph Smith to one of his early associates telling him about discovering the plates, and there was a white salamander on them. Well, I couldn't get rid of that paper fast enough. I went into my study and I closed the door. And I knelt down on the floor. And I prayed to the Lord. Lord, you know, the restoration and the Book of Mormon receives all kinds of criticisms and critical examination. How are we going to deal with this thing making headlines now all over our country? I had anguish in my heart because I love and I've always loved the Book of Mormon. And you know, I heard an answer. I can't say my non-functioning ears heard it, but in my mind, I heard the Lord's answer. Don, I have called you to declare the Book of Mormon, not to prove it. Well, you know, my heart kind of flooded with relief at that moment. Relief. And I'm glad I got that relief before a newspaper came out about 3 weeks later about a guy in Utah that reaching into his car one day for a bomb he had made, blew himself up, blinded himself, blew off his hand. It was the guy who wrote that newspaper article who found this document. No, he didn't find it. He forged it. He forged it. He made it up. And there was a long, lengthy investigation. And they found all the things that he had made up. And he'd killed several people, you know, to protect himself. They shall fall into the pit which they digged to ensnare the people of the Lord. I see these things fulfilled over and over and over again. How true it is. Well, who are these people that it's speaking of here? Namely, they are all those who would frustrate the work of Jesus Christ in this latter day. All of those who labor against and work against and speak against the restoration of the gospel and the true gospel of Jesus Christ and the Book of Mormon. They fit in this category. The great and abominable church and all her daughters that labor against the work of God in this latter day. But verse 23, back over here to chapter 11 of 3rd Nephi on page 669. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. That was a strange expression to me when I was a young guy. As calves of the stall. You know, a city boy. I was a city boy. That didn't really make much impact upon me. Until one day, we had a horrible blizzard in northern Arizona. And the Navajo reservation was covered with snow, 10, 12 feet deep. And all their livestock, the sheep and the goats and the cattle that lived, had only lived because they were able to find a high place and get up out of that snow. But there they were, starving to death. The Arizona National Guard flew planes and helicopters over the Navajo reservation and dropped bales of hay onto those spots where there were a few animals still alive and stranded. And right there in the same area, there were dairy farmers who had their herd in a barn, safely in their stalls, well fed and secure and protected. I want you to remember, as history unfolds and as bad things come around or as individual problems crop up in your life, I want you to remember this promise. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall, fed, secure, cared for, and loved. Well, Here it is, time to quit. Well, I've got a whole bunch more scriptures, and I'm not going to pull a Ken on you here tonight. Maybe some other time I'll do that. I've got a bunch of scriptures about our day. And like it or not, this is our day when the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the nations of the world and upon the mother of abominations. And oddly enough, you either take my word for this or I'll read them all to you. That is the very time when the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth that God is going to reach out and recover His lost sheep of Israel. I think He's doing it right now. I think we have been permitted to see that happen. You know, like it or not, and I kind of like it, although I tremble sometimes, this is our day. This is our day. And the mother of abominations and her daughters, in chapter 17 of Revelation, they're waging warfare against the pure doctrine of Jesus Christ found in this Holy Bible. They declare it's inerrant. It's without error. And yet they don't teach it. They teach something else entirely. Something easy and something that will gain membership and something that will make people happy. Not something that will make them think and examine their lives and make great changes in their lives. It makes them content and happy. Just like that sign I saw of the church over there in Africa, driving down the highway. Here was this great big sign for a church just up the road a little ways, out of sight. Praise the Lord and be happy, church. That was the name of it. And that was their doctrine. And that's the doctrine of a multitude of churches today, waging war against the pure doctrine of Jesus Christ. The false prophet of the 16th chapter of Revelation is waging war against Christianity and the United States in particular and Israel in particular. Armageddon draws closer with every passing day. But I want you to remember the beautiful promises of the Lord in this time. We just read one of them, the words of Malachi that Jesus repeated. I'd like to read one more. In 1 Nephi chapter 3. I said I wasn't going to read these, but here I am. I've lied to you about that. I got to repent again. Page 40. I'm just going to read a few verses here, beginning with verse 229. And it came to pass that I beheld the great mother of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of the earth among all the nations of the Gentiles to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord, which were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. Then it goes on about the troubles that we're going to see in this day. But keep in mind the beautiful promises of Jesus Christ to those that fear the Lord. With all that that implies and means and signifies. Well, Jesus, I'm going to close here with one more thing he said. He said, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I want you to think about your spiritual, not just your temporal father, but I'm hoping you turn your hearts, children, to the words and the advice and the counsel of your temporal father and mother. But I want you adults also to be thinking about your spiritual fathers. I like the words of the Apostle John over and over again, not in the Gospel of St. John, but when he's writing letters to the church. He said, little children, he looked at us as his little children, those believers. He was concerned about us. The Apostle Paul was concerned about us. He said, I am concerned for the Gentiles over whom the Lord has made me a missionary. Let us turn our hearts to our spiritual fathers. In the Book of Mormon, there are many instances of some of these ancient writers who were looking down into the future, and they saw this day. And they saw their descendants, the Native American people that are on this land, and they saw the Gentiles here upon this land. They were concerned about us. They gave us counsel. We should do what Jesus said here. Turn our hearts to our fathers and be attentive to their words. With respect and honor and awe, let us turn our hearts to our spiritual fathers. Let's give respectful attention to their words, to their message. Let's give honor and reverence to the Lord, not just here in His house, for He is omnipresent. Everywhere we go, He is there with us. Let us give reverence and honor to Him. Let us stand in awe of His power and His glory, of His love for the children of men, His creation. And let us be amazed that we live in this day of history and have been called to serve Him in the closing moments of the history of the nations of the earth. Thank you. Let's pray for one another.